Well, it's very hard to see it go down. I came in 1972 to that building.
The old Haines Elementary School is no more. The Conley Lake Hydro Project comment period is extended. Alaska Airlines expands its flights, but not where you might expect. A local man is featured in a popular clothing company catalog, and an update on local sports. I'm Adam Richard. It's the KHNS Local News up next. The old Haines Elementary School is now a pile of rubble. It took less than a day to raise the school to the ground. Crews are now working on loading the remains into trucks and taking them away. With a staff of up to 45 and a student population that reached 450, the school represents a lot of memories for locals who attended classes there, had children enrolled, and those who worked there. I spoke with Alan Heinrich, former elementary and junior high principal, to see how he felt seeing the school torn down.
Well, it's very hard to see it go down. I came in 1972 to that building, and the building portion that came down now is the part that burned in 73, and I spent a lot of years of my life in that building.
And his memories of the old school?
Well, I had a very good time at that school. I mean, my career was wonderful. It worked out very nicely. I'm happy to see a lot of the students around town that are now young adults that went through that building with me. And
is there anything he would like to see happen to the old school site?
Well, I don't have any particular ideas of what should go there now that the school is gone. I would like to see them get it cleaned up and make it a nice area in town until they decide what's going to happen with it.
The Connolly Lake Hydro Project comment period has been extended by 60 days due to complaints that there was not an adequate amount of public notice, which resulted in a lack of public comment on the project. Glenn Martin, AP&T project manager, wrote to the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission on Thursday requesting a letter to explain why there were two public notices for their preliminary permit. The permit was applied for on July 15, 2011. The first public notice for comment and review was on August 11th. Martin says they were then notified on November 2nd that there would be another 60-day period for comment and review. Conley Lake was chosen by AP&T as the most economically viable location due to the economy of scale and the fact that no underwater sea cables are required. Conley Lake sits just upstream from Chilkoot Lake. Plans would increase the lake from 90 acres to 160 acres with construction of a 48-foot dam. A 6,200-foot penstock would then carry water to a power station near the Chilkoot River, which would house two 6-megawatt generators. Water would then be discharged back into the stream. Current comments on the project are quite varied, with some of those for the project stating Haines would finally be electrically independent and nearly sustainable without the help of diesel generators, while some of those opposed are worried about environmental impacts, specifically to the salmon runs and impacts on the Chilkat River. It is not believed that electric rates would fluctuate much with the installation of the hydro plant. Everyone is encouraged to comment on the project, whether for or against. It is recommended that you use FERC's, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission's, e-comment process for online submissions, and they are discouraging people from sending emails or using snail mail. To make a comment, you can go to www.ferc.gov/docs-filing/ecomment.asp. All comments can be viewed at the same site. Just replace e-comment with e-library in the address, and the docket number you will need is P-14229-000. The main airline that serves Alaskans has rapidly been expanding its flights to Hawaii. An Alaska Airlines chief spoke earlier this month to regional officials in Ketchikan, where Deanna Garrison reports.
Alaska Airlines Vice President of Alaska Operations Bill McKay says Hawaii is now 21% of the airline's route system.
What does that really mean? Our state of Alaska flying is 23%. So we're flying now almost as much to Hawaii as we do to the state of Alaska, which is really hard for me to feature. But it's been a great new series of markets for us. One of the reasons why Alaska Airlines is doing as well as it is financially.
Alaska Airlines first began service to Hawaii 4 years ago. Through the implementation of new fees, McKay says Alaska Airlines and other carriers are enjoying relatively strong profits this year.
This is just the first quarter report for the industry, but the industry collected $1.4 billion in baggage fees and reservations change fees, another very popular aspect of what we're doing as an industry, $784 million in baggage fees for the first quarter of 2011, $598 million in reservations change fees. It's obviously a staggering sum.
McKay says the fees are helping to offset rising oil prices.
In July of 2010, the industry was paying an average of $2.21 a gallon. July of 2011, the industry is paying $2.92 a gallon. Little bitty old Alaska Airlines, number 9 in size, so we're quite small compared to our big competitors. Every penny fluctuation means about $4.5 million on an annualized basis. So for us alone, that increase from last year to this year represents about $320 million. And in fact, Alaska Airlines itself will spend over $1 billion in 2011 in fuel.
McKay says passenger numbers in Southeast Alaska have remained steady. In 2010, he says Alaska Airlines carried an average of 1,727 passengers per day in and out of Southeast Alaska. This year, that number is 1,753 passengers. He says there's been a marked increase in the airline's cargo business within Southeast.
Year to date, we're up to over 18 million pounds of primarily fresh seafood product that we've hauled outside. That is almost 2 million over last year's total.
McKay says Alaska Airlines is working to improve its operational reliability.
I think here a few years ago, you might have thought we subscribed to the industry motto of we're not happy till you're not happy. It was struggles for us in almost all categories. I'm proud to tell you now, though, we have been the industry leader in on-time performance statistics for not only the last several months, but pretty much all year, and hope that we'll end the year with that. And those of you that have maybe gotten back to trusting us to, check your luggage, have hopefully seen major improvements in baggage delivery times in Seattle, in particular.
McKay was the keynote speaker at Southeast Conference annual meeting in Ketchikan. He is slated to retire next month. In Ketchikan, I'm Deanna Garrison.
Eddie Bauer. Does that conjure up images of bombs blasting, bullets flying, or first ascents on extreme mountains? Probably not, but between the 1920s and 40s, it probably would have. A Pacific Northwest outdoorsman, Bauer patented the first quilted down jacket after getting hypothermia on a winter fishing trip. He went on to be the first independent company allowed to put their logo on Army-issued uniforms. During World War II, Bauer sold more than 50,000 B-9 flight parkas designed to keep airmen warm at high altitudes, and also supplied the Army with backpacks, pants, and over 100,000 cold-weather sleeping bags. It was a red Eddie Bauer jacket that kept Jim Whittaker warm on the first American ascent of Everest. What does any of this have to do with Hanes? Well, local man Drake Olson has been featured in the new winter Eddie Bauer catalog. In an effort to return to the roots, Eddie Bauer is coming out with a new line of extreme mountaineering gear. The article shows Drake wearing a 3-in-1 aviator jacket and asks him a few questions. When asked what's different about flying in Hanes, Drake responded, "It's really a huge mental thing, reading weather and trying to fulfill people's expectations." He went on to say, "I have no answers. I know what is out there, and what is out there is a big question mark." And what does Drake wear in his plane? A waterproof shell that won't tear easily and lots of layers. Or as he puts it, comfortable survivability. The article also says that back in the day, the most loyal customers to Eddie Bauer were Alaskan bush pilots. You can find the full article in the Eddie Bauer 2011 Winter Outfitter book on pages 56 and 57. There is a whiff of basketball in the air with schedules being released for Hanes. Schedules seem, for the most part, to be mirror images of last year's, with teams played away last year at home this year and vice versa. For Hanes, practices are due to start the Monday after Thanksgiving. And in volleyball, the Glacier Bears will be playing their third game of the Region 5 volleyball tournament in Juneau against Wrangell at 1 p.m. If they win that game, they will play the winner of the Craig versus Sitka game at 4:45. They said they were optimistic for a win because they had beat both teams before. Yesterday, they played the first seed Mount Edgecombe. Although they lost the match, they did take one game, which seemed to be a boost for their confidence. In Skagway, schedules have not yet been released. Girls basketball will have to wait for the end of volleyball on December 2nd before practices can start. Game times are as of Friday, November 4th. Reporting for KHNS, I'm Adam Richard.